Well, I can do something too, but it's not going to be very definitive.
Okay. Do you think it would be more definitive if you did it in a couple of weeks?
Sure.
Okay. Jim, do you have any availability to do this tonight? Ah, Jim was in and out on the phone. And this is the out part. Okay, and Michael is new to the committee, so probably you would rather hear a couple of these before you go, right?
Definitely. we're not going to get our March financials until a little bit later, and we have a second local. We have two local finance committees scheduled this month. One is tomorrow, and one is the 15th. So probably after that, we'll be in a better position.
Right. Okay. Richard, then it looks like.
Richard.
Yes, Richard.
Were you asking for Jim Boyd a minute ago?
I was. He wasn't on the call, it sounded like.
Okay, he's around. I guess he just fell off. He and I were talking about it beforehand, and he has partial information, but he does not all of it has come in, and we're hoping to be able to do it at the next meeting on the 4th Tuesday.
That's your preference. Okay. Well, then it sounds like we should do BAI and KPFA to the extent that we can tonight, and then we would move on to the rest of the stations at the next meeting. So let's go with that plan. And, Barbara, if you want to do as much as you can tonight and then, you know, supplement a bit, I think that's workable.
All I was going to bring up was the fact that, you know, the actuals as they were distributed to the PNB, and you distributed them to our LSB meeting. I mean, you put them up as an email, and then you distributed a copy. I had taken those that total and worked with our business manager. The thing that we thought would be the most useful for the LSB was to go back, and just for the rest of the committee, our LSB meeting did not include the treasurer's report. We had a hot topic that we went into executive session for, and we never went back to the agenda and didn't have our finance report. And I didn't hand it out anyway, which I could have, because I felt it needed some explanation. And the thing that our business manager and I settled on when we prepared a report, thinking that it would be given, was that we took the, I don't know whether you want to call them somewhat incomplete actuals that were distributed to the PNB, and that was one column on our financial report. And to compare it, we used three different budgets. And that was to try to provide for the LSB a little history all on one sheet of paper, or actually it was four or five pages, on one finance report of the history of what happened with our budget as it was presented and approved and then passed on and approved again. And there were changes. So one of the columns was the budget that was presented to the KPFA LSB on August 30th, I believe it was, last year. And that was a rather abortive meeting. People who were not happy with the fact that the budget had to be distributed at the last minute did not attend the meeting. Just about half of the members of the LSB did, and there was quite an extensive, and they had not been given the budget earlier.
So, Barbara, are you giving your report now?
I am.
Okay. go ahead, then.
The budget then was approved by not enough of a majority of the LSB to be formally approved. So this is for new members of this committee. You're going to hear a little bit about some of the difficulties of approving budgets and so on. So the budget went to the Finance Committee and was mulled over and voted on September 5th. But in fact, that was supposed to be the budget that we thought was going to be submitted to the PNB. However, the chair of our finance committee, Tracy, then changed a few more things in between the time that the budget had been approved by the finance committee before it went to the PNB. So there were these three versions of our budget on this little sheet, and then a column with the actuals, and it was all for the first quarter of the year. And then there were three more columns with the amounts of the budget for the total year. So it was the purpose of this report was to give the LSB a little history, all, as I said, in one report. And we were all advised that the actuals, as they went to the finance to the PNB, were not terribly complete. There were things, information was lacking. So that was one item that I was going to hand out. And the other item was a report by our data manager of the fund drive that had just finished of the income raised and all the different categories they list the income in, whether it's credit cards or pledges that would be fulfilled later and so on, by show, by program. And people are always very interested to see the differences in amounts of money raised by the programs. So those were two reports. Then, of course, there was a brief report of the money that was in the bank and the accounts payable that were about to be paid that were due. So those are the things that I was ready to present at our March LSB meeting, and I have nothing new or newer to report at this time, but the business manager and I will have a more up-to-date report for our LSB meeting, which is on the 13th of April. That's
okay.
It.
All right. I guess what we normally do is the protocol for these reports, and generally the idea of a report is to cite actual numbers, which it seems Barbara is declining to do. I will fill in those numbers as best I can. But generally the protocol is the treasurer speaks and then the PNB member from that station, and then we go to questions and answers. My numbers are slightly constrained because the only numbers that I have seen, because as Barbara states correctly, the KPFA business manager hasn't produced any financial statements. I know, for example, at KPFK, you guys produce financial statements. That hasn't happened here. And I don't believe that I've seen much of anything since September of 2012. So the only numbers that I'm aware of for KPFA is the first quarter financial statement issued by the national office. So those are the numbers that we'll have to work with. I'm not quite sure what the efficacy is of spending time comparing actuals to unapproved budget drafts. That strikes me as, what's the word? That strikes me as an exercise in non-productive use of time. But if that's what's being done for the local LSB, then I guess that's what's being done. I think for the purposes of the Finance Committee, our interest is in the final version of the budget only. And that applies to all of the stations, but we've sort of never had a report here that focused on unapproved budgets. In terms of the actual numbers for KPFA, people can see them on the consolidated financial statement. There's approximately an $88,000 surplus that mostly came from listener revenues and a little bit on donations. The earlier versions of the budget had much higher listener revenues and donation versions for last year. Those were cut down slightly, and so it was possible to meet them and surpass them slightly, which is good. It's nice to show a surplus. I would have to get to some papers. I expected Barbara to sort of provide numbers, which she didn't do. So I would have to.
Well, I have numbers here. If you want to ask about items, I can read them right off the thing.
Yeah. I would have to get back up to a computer. As I recall, the listener numbers were 799,000, and the total revenue was 900-something. Expenses were at about 842. And I do have a question regarding the payment on the central services and the archives, because it looked like only a portion was paid December 31st. So I believe that Brian's correct when he says what was paid out in January in the second quarter was the unpaid part from the first quarter. So I think that's probably the case. And the January-February numbers should be reasonably on budget because the February fund drive came in right about as projected. I think it was 732 or something with a goal of 725. So in theory, those numbers should be reasonably on target. On the expenses, Barbara, I believe the expenses were pretty much on target. Were there any budget differentials or discrepancies
you're
that you
back
noticed?
And forth between the first three quarters and the next three quarters.
The first 3 months are the only ones for which we have numbers, so we're talking mm-hmm. about the first quarter.
Okay. Well, let's see what I have here.
I don't know what was expensed in the second quarter. No one has provided any numbers.
Mm-hmm. The total expenses for the first quarter, according to what was reported to the PNB, was $772,906. And
were there any significant line item discrepancies over the approved budget?
Let's see. I'm having a hard time interpreting this. It looks like personnel costs were $465,000 and the budget was $447,000. So that's probably the one that was over. And
right.
The others seem to be under by $10,000, $32,000, $3,000, $21,000. And the community events was $18,000 over. So the total operating expenses were $31,653 under the approved budget.
Mm-hmm. And the discrepancy of $32,000, it sounds like from the way that you're reading this, was programming expenses. Do you have you identified what wasn't
administrative
spent?
Administrative expenses were significantly under by almost $32,500.
Okay.
And development expenses were under by $21,300.
Uh-huh.
So those were the major differences.
Okay.
Board expenses were under by $10,000.
Right. I'm asking if you've identified where these expenses were considerably less than anticipated, and if you can target whether that is in fact savings that were issued or those are simply unpaid bills that weren't paid.
I would have to go over the rest of the statement other than just the summary sheet, and I can't do that right this minute quickly. So.
Okay. I think that would be helpful in information to make sense of those numbers.
Of course. A better statement will be had at the next meeting, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'll try to do some work on it as well. Okay. Any questions or comments?
You were asking about PRA, by the way, and I noticed that at that point in time, we had paid $3,800 more than was in the budget.
No, I don't think so. If you take a look at the consolidated statement, the balance due for the first quarter was around $18,000, and KPFA had paid about $9,500. So the remainder was due,
well,
which is
what
Brian confirmed.
The actual column that I'm looking at was $19,995 paid.
Right. And the pay, no, $19,935 accrued. It's $9,600 paid. You look up a couple lines into the right-hand column, it tells you what was paid.
Okay, well, we'll look at the statement next month.
Right. That's why Brian stated that the other half was paid in January of the first quarter accruals. Okay. With that, I guess we will move on to WBAI, and I will try to do a little more work on KPFA's financials, which I haven't done. Paul, I know that the budget was pre-hurricane and therefore has limited congruence to what actually happened. But if you could break down for us a little bit what actually happened, that would be really helpful.
All right. Yes. First of all, that income statement that we've got is, I have to say, it is extremely difficult for some of us to read without lines on it, and it would be good if we got the actual spreadsheets. So I'm just registering that. It would be good if we got the actual spreadsheets that we can put the lines on if they're not already there. WBAI's budget that was approved is in serious need of amendment due to the move and all the other stuff that's going on with us. The income statement looks like it needs some adjustment too, to put it mildly. I want to say I'm kind of amazed that under board expenses, we still have a line that says LAB election expenses. We haven't had an LAB for 9 years, and it may sound picky to pick at that, but I think it's a detail, and if that detail is still sitting there with obsolete terminology, it raises an eyebrow in me. Maybe that's just me. Looking at the income statement, there are some problems, one of which is I don't see any income from WBAI's Saturday morning ticket sales. And we certainly had Saturday morning ticket sales going on for the first quarter of FY13. So this raises the question of these numbers and what are we sort of seeing here. Are we seeing the full income for WBAR? Are we seeing all of our revenue? Are we seeing part of it? Are we seeing all of it, but some of it just isn't being broken out? Is everything being lumped in? I don't know the answer to that, and maybe I'll be able to find out at some point, and I'll have a question about that in a little bit. We also have I have a question. In the income statement, it says we have consultant expenses of $42,312, and I don't know what those are. I have a question in the management about that. I hope we will find out. It may again be that, you know, since we're getting this income statement, which is very short, it's not the usual income statement we get. It's just well, it's not the usual income statement. It has a lot less information on it. Again, maybe a fuller, more traditional income statement would explain all of this. Maybe that's the deal. All right. Now, I'm going on the income statement as compared to the, what is it called? The consolidated annual budget that we have. And what I'm seeing is, switching back to that, what I'm seeing is comparing those, listener support income for WBAI appears to be off by about $330,000 for the first quarter. For the first quarter, listener support revenue is off by about $330,000. Total revenue seems to be off about $475,000. So we appear to be worse than budgeted for total revenue for BAI for the first quarter for about $475,000. People may know that we've had to, in an emergency mode, raise $500,000 to pay off our transmitter problem at the Empire State Building. So right there, I think we can see where a great deal of that problem comes from. Because people were asking at the WBAI LSB about this, and, I was giving some of these numbers there, and the general manager gave more numbers there. So if people are wondering how did this happen, well, the first quarter pretty much shows it. Total direct expenses appear to be about $97,000 worse than budgeted. And so there's a problem. The office rent expense is listed as $35,090. The budget says $81,300, which is going to be a bit adjusted by now. And I'm not sure why the income statement is as it is. I just don't understand that. So basically, I've done this because, again, I there's no real precision in what we're looking at. So basically, those are our big numbers, and certainly tell us something about WBAI's first quarter. A question I have is there some way I, as treasurer, can be in touch with the current business manager for WBAI, whom I am told is in Texas? And I would like to know if there's some way I could get some more information from that business manager. So that's one of my questions. And that is pretty much my report at this time.
This is really difficult to do. But anyway,
is everyone
okay.
Stunned? Is that...
No, we're not surprised. It's just, it's frustrating because...
very difficult to absorb.
The ability to do what we need to do here is really constrained by the record-keeping deficiencies, which are extreme. I'm going to do a little work on KPFA so I can at least provide some reasonable numbers here. Manajay Sab is not here, so are there any questions regarding what ARPAL put out? And for the question that you asked me, you should be able to speak with Mariska in Houston when you need to, ARPAL. So what have you done so far to try to make that happen?
I asked, and so far I'm not. I haven't heard anything. So, I mean, I think this question right here, right now, is where I am hoping I will get some information.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's going to need to get fixed. Okay. Does anyone have any questions for ARPAL, concerns? All right. I will tamp down a bit of the KPFA numbers so we can at least get some numbers out on the stream, which I think would be helpful. Who is that who just spoke?
Michael Lewick.
Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Well, it's more of an interrogatory. So my understanding is that we were able to make the payment to Empire State Building for the antenna transmission for WBAI. Is that right?
Largely. What happens is we had to make a payment on March 15th. That was done. We had to make a payment at the very end of March. That was done. We had to make a payment on April 1st. That was done. What we have left now is May, June, July, and August. Those 4 months, we have to pay $60,000 right at the first of the month, each month. The big problem has been, of course, WBAI paying late, which also, by the way, incurs late fees from Empire,
sure,
which amount to tens of thousands of dollars a year in late fees. And I had suggested a couple of times in the past that maybe National Office could just front the money and have them pay it and bill back BAI. Unfortunately, the National Office doesn't have the money to do that. So we are unable to save thousands of dollars of late fees that way. So you can see how the whole thing of Pacifica is, you know, not having money is costing us money. Our cash flow costs us money. And the other thing is, a part of the deal is this, and I've had to explain this to the BAI LSP two or three times now. These are unfortunately not new things that are happening. In fact, Summer Reese reported that when they went to the court to look up the case, they had a very hard time finding it because this exact lawsuit has been filed against WBAI so many times that it goes back to being filed till I think it was in the 90s, like 1993 they were able to go back to. And it was just many, many, many of these being filed. The only difference between what just happened and what's happened for the past at least 20 years or more is that Pacifica was not able to basically give BAI a bridge loan to satisfy this and stop it. This time, Pacifica didn't have the money for a bridge loan, and that's why it became a super-duper emergency instead of the emergency that we've had for the past number of decades. So, yes, the basic deal is we raise the money, and we have four more months where we absolutely need to be on time with $60,000 payments since we're paying part of the arrears in $10,000 chunks every month now. So we have to do that. And there was one more point I was about to make there. Anyway, that's what we have.
Are you saying it's a $50,000 payment to be current and a $10,000 arrear to catch up?
Right, but all of that, the 60 has to be paid on the first.
Right.
In other words, we have to pay 60,
otherwise,
not 50. And, the 50 is approximate. You know, it's not perfectly 50 because Empire adjusts the rental, the total payments up a little bit every now and again. So they average about 50 a month. So so there's that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my question, based on that then, is that actually covered, or is it covered by sort of soaking up money that was supposed to go to other expenses that are now deferred?
I am pretty sure that some expenses are deferred. I don't know that for certain, but being at BAI all this time, I'm certain we haven't paid all our bills.
Okay.
One of the things that's a concern right now is that we have been pitching since the beginning of February. We have been pitching for way longer than is healthy. And so people are concerned that we're going to have the May on-air fundraiser, and people are going to be tapped out. That is a concern for the future.
Thank you.
Well.
Okay. Anyone else on BAI? Okay. If it's okay, we do need to move on with the agenda, but I'm going to go ahead and just put some figures out on the stream. And again, these are based on the first quarter consolidated financials that we did receive, incomplete as they are, because I know that sometimes listeners listen to these calls, and I just want them to get a sense of what the actual numbers are. So I'll do it. So I'll do it quickly for BAI and quickly for KPFA.
I just want to send us those figures as an actual spreadsheet. I don't know if somebody was saying we still had it only as a without the lines, but there actually was a spreadsheet version that you sent us.
Quite a bit before our last meeting.
Yes, there was a spreadsheet that was produced by the National Office and also a Word document that was about 8 pages long that kind of summarized the data. I'm just going to read a little bit off of that just so if listeners are listening to the stream, they can actually get their head around some of the numbers. It'll be fast. Okay, so on WBAI for the first quarter, The total revenue anticipated in the budget was $1,012,000. The actual revenues were $539,000. The total revenue for the first quarter of 2012, the year before, was $1,010,000. The WBAI expenses were as follows: salaries and benefits. The budget was $325,000 for the first quarter. They actually spent $346,000. That's compared to $375,000 the previous year in the first quarter. The board collection expenses were anticipated as $18,000. They spent $17,000. Administrative expenses were anticipated at $158,000. BAI spent $143,000. That's compared to the first quarter of 2012 when that number was $208,000. So some savings there were implemented. The budget for programming was $194,000. The amount spent in 2013 was $90,000. We believe that discrepancy was tower rentals that were not then paid in the first quarter but were paid later on. And the total in 2012 was $175,000. Development expenses budgeted at $61,000, spent $69,000. And the 2012 numbers were $98,000 for that quarter. So, again, some savings there were manifested. Community event expenses, $12,000 budgeted, $10,000 spent. The 2012 number is $12,000. Shared services budgeted at $152,000. The amount that was actually paid according to the National Office in the first quarter was $46,000. That is about $20,000 or $25,000 short of what should have been paid, even with the reduced revenue. And of course, the revenue was half of what was anticipated. So I hope that's reasonably consistent with what you have, Arpal. But
well, basically, yes. I mean, I don't think there's any precision in what we can do. We've got these, and as I'm very concerned about that. The basic bottom line, my idea for the basic bottom line is that big revenue shortfall of the listener support off by 330 and total revenue off by 475. That's
right.
That is the main thing I was trying to communicate.
Yeah, and essentially there's nothing clever you can say about earning approximately 50% of the revenue that you projected. I mean, there's nothing. That just is what it is. And it's going to cause the kinds of problems that it's going to cause. Okay, let me do the same thing for KPFA because I think it helps to at least have some numbers on the table, and then I think we can move the agenda. Okay, revenue anticipated in the budget, $903,000. Actual revenues, $989,000 in the first quarter. On the expense side, salaries and benefits, it was budgeted at $446,000. The station spent $465,000. That compares to $454,000 in the first quarter last year. So, in fact, the payroll was larger than it was 12 months ago. The election expenses were budgeted at $31,000, and $21,000 was spent. I don't know if that was an inflated budget or if that's simply some printing or postage or other bills that were not paid that carried over into January. So maybe Barbara can check in on that. Administrative expenses were budgeted at $130,000. $104,000 was actually spent. In 2012, that number was $112,000. Programming expenses were budgeted at $48,000. $44,000 was spent. In 2012, that number was $58,000, so it's come down somewhat. Development expenses were budgeted as $89,000. $67,000 was spent. In 2012, that was $72,000. Community event expenses were budgeted at $57,000. $44,000 was spent. In 2012, that was $26,000. So I'm guessing there's more community events going on. And on the shared services front, $99,000 was budgeted for 2013. $155,000 was accrued. Not all of that was paid. The amount of outstanding central services at the end of the quarter was shown on the consolidated financial statement to be... let's see. $155,000 was accrued and 65 plus 9, 74 was paid. So there's about another 75 that presumably was paid in January for that first quarter. The accruals were so high because a larger percentage of the income was listener revenue than anticipated. The budget had a significant amount of off-site, off-air fundraising, and that a certain amount of money would come in that way and on the website and in various other ways that would not be subject to central services. But, in fact, less money came in that way and more money came in under the listener support category. So the central services levy was applied to a larger sum of the revenue. So what else? That's pretty much it. The operating surplus with the extra revenue was largely generated by turning the December fundraiser, which was originally anticipated to be a week, and $150,000 into a two-week fundraiser with a goal of $275,000. Okay. So I think that takes care of the numbers, at least insofar as anybody would want to hear them, and we don't have any more numbers than that. Arpal, can you give us a total of about how much BAI raised with the fundraising extravaganza that's been going on? Do you know what sort of the bottom line is?
The tower? Hold on a minute. Let me I have to go through some emails here. Let's see. Progress. Is there any more after that? Okay. From the 28th, from an email from the general manager on March 28th, last Friday, let's see. Looking fast here. He put out more than one thing. And basically, he's thanking everybody and saying that. All right. yeah, okay. Let me grab that. I was getting ready for this thing here, and for the first quarter. Basically, we have a little bit more than we needed to get at the end, and we have four payments that amount to $240,000, and we have some of that. We don't have the May 1st money yet. We don't have the May 1st money, so we're partway towards that. We do not have the the full amount for May. Last I heard, okay, that's what I can tell you right now. I can probably dig up some more. I know the general manager was putting out some information, which I'm trying to find right here.
And okay.
I'm not seeing. It's not quite a spreadsheet, but it is a couple of columns of what we've got. But I know that what I've just said is that we don't have May yet, but we have something towards May, and those other 3 months we don't have yet. So that's what I can give you right fast.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay, so if we're going to move the agenda, I think we got rid of the KPFK lockbox item. It will be back, but we did what we're going to do on that tonight. We completed the CPB item, and we do need to get up-to-date information from the IED. The other pieces of... Yes.
Ms. Richard, may I ask a question? I'm new to the committee, so I just want to ask a question, basically.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to salute our Paul and his saying that at some point he saw red flags and he was concerned that it was just him. Good work, our Paul. Am I to understand at this point after the first quarter, BAI is almost a half a million out of balance?
For the first quarter, you know, which ended on December 31st, that's what it looks like to me.
Now,
of course, after this big extravaganza we've gone through, some of that is, a significant amount of that is made up, but but there is a future, and we have, in May, we're going to go to the same well we have just really done a lot of work at. So,
okay. My question, is when a station starts showing they're that much out of balance, do we encourage, or how do we talk to them about making budget adjustments now, so that we don't just hit the wall with all the force in the world? Seems to me like that one of those red flags that we were talking about would be they need to adjust the budget, and I know that's always a hairy thing to do, but I'm wondering if BAI doesn't need to start pulling in some of their expenses and adjust their budget.
Madam Chair, I don't know. I don't know what I'm allowed to say at this point.
That's a question. Well, I can take a stab at answering it if you want, or you can take a stab at not saying something you shouldn't.
Oh, thank you. I can say that BAI management from what I know, BAI management is... Yes, definitely looking at what can be done to adjust the budget going forward. So I can say that. I can absolutely say that.
Okay. To supplement, this has been, of course, an ongoing problem. Unlike several of our other stations at BAI, they have had a certain amount of fixed expenses that have been non-discretionary leases that we could not get out of. Some of that is starting to abate. Certainly the occupancy is no longer a huge financial stress, but of course the tower still is. So there has been relatively little ability to adjust those particular expenses, and they were far enough out of whack of those particular expenses were causing the ship to tip over right there before you did anything else. There are obviously some discretionary expenses, but they are limited, and in open session there is only so much that we can say about them. But it is my understanding that, as R. Paul said, there will be an attempt to make sure that while the station is going through this period of needing to both uphold the transmitter and pay the past due amounts to Silverstein, the previous landlord, which I think will be going on for another couple months, that there will have to be some adjustments with the part of the revenue that is discretionary, or the part of the expenses that's discretionary. Unfortunately, it's a fairly small chunk of the expenses. I think if we're going to go any further, we're into closed session. Would you agree, R. Paul?
Pretty much. I mean, I think we can say that BAI also owes money to Silverstein, and it has been publicly stated that the WBAI general manager and the interim executive director of Pacifica have been negotiating with them, and my understanding is that they have reached an agreement that, you know, isn't going to kill us, but we need to get some money for that. And of course, there's the fact that the former landlord can only sue us. They can't take us off the air in an instant the way Empire could. So there's that.
Okay.
So the short answer to the question in terms of what the committee can do here is where there are discretionary expense reductions, we can recommend what we think the scale of those should be. In this case, we'll be looking at a brand new budget literally within months because it's already April. So my sense here is that the helpful thing that we're going to have to do is take a look at the old structure and take a look at the new structure because we're in a different place and in a different structure, and try to make sure that the new structure works a bit better than the old structure does. Did
you mean structure of the budget?
The revenue to expense relationship,
mm-hmm.
which has been wildly out of whack and largely almost impossible due to fixed expenses, both for occupancy and for transmitter, and with labor agreements in place, has been virtually impossible to significantly adjust. So we will have to look at this year what it is possible to do. The occupancy is promising, but again, it's only one part of what is basically a three-headed problem. Or a problem that has three heads. Okay. In terms of the agenda, where we are, we will go forward with the other three stations at the next meeting. We've dealt with the KPFK lockbox, and that will recur. We will get a little more information on the CPB resolution and to what extent that's moved and to what extent it hasn't. There's two items left in unfinished business. I think the first will be fairly fast, and that's Michael's item. So why don't we go to that, and then we'll pick up the simulcast question. So, Michael, do you want to motivate what you were putting on the agenda?
Well, the question arose at the election committee, PNB election committee, that the contracts that had been written based on the policy we proposed and that was adopted by the PNB was that final payments wouldn't be made to the local election supervisors until they submitted a final report. And we're trying to find out if the payments were actually made because three of the five never submitted reports or haven't done so yet. And the national election supervisor finished his report and finished his responsibilities and is no longer on top of trying to get those reports. So we're trying to figure out whether the payments were made, and if so, what can be done to prevent that from happening in the future, because that's the only enforcement mechanism we have at this point to get those reports written, is that the final check is supposed to be withheld until they're submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's some policy or some procedure that would ensure that whoever pays out the those contract employees is restricted from paying the final check until it's been certified by somebody, I guess the executive director, that that final report's been submitted.
Okay. Are you so you're still on the elections committee, Michael, so you're pretty sure that we haven't got them from three out of the five employees. Information is still the same?
Right. PFW and I think BAI submitted it, and the other three haven't.
About that big? So this is about the living room kitchen size.
Interesting. Okay. Does anybody from any of the other stations have any recollection of seeing a report or?
I know nothing about this.
Yeah. Any supplementary info? Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay. Well, I guess what we can do is we can find out if those payments have been made. My guess is that they probably have been, because we're really talking about people who stopped working at the beginning of January, and it's already April. So it's hard to imagine that people wouldn't be kicking and screaming for paychecks at this point in time. If, in fact, they have been paid without submitting the reports, then it's really a question of needing someone to sign off on those payments who apparently probably wasn't consulted prior to the payments being drawn up.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, my concern is of going forward. My assumption is that if they hadn't been paid, they would be producing the reports. since they haven't produced reports, my assumption is they actually did get paid. So my concern is, going forward, how can we make sure that the people who make the payments are aware that they have to withhold that payment?
Well, this is Barbara for a comment.
Okay, Barbara.
I think I'm wondering if there was, some information not conveyed once the PNB voted to the people involved in approving and signing checks.
I don't think the PNB per se voted on that. I don't recall that we ever did.
Well, I'm talking about whatever it is Michael is mentioning, that he felt there was a vote that they should not be paid until their reports were turned in. Right?
I'm pretty sure it was written into the contract based on...
their contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree that it was not PNB directive. No.
So it was in the contract.
And it's always been in the contract. I mean, I was a local election supervisor years ago, and it was in my contract. It's one of those things where it's a policy, and it's been a policy for like a decade, and it's just a question, I think, of enforcement. I think either at a number of stations, people just didn't know about the policy, which is possible, or basically the business managers who cut the checks didn't take any responsibility for enforcing it. We don't pay the local supervisors out of the national office. If we did, that might fix it, but we don't. So it sounds to me like the kind of thing that just requires a reminder memo, to be honest. Or keeping an NES, on staff until all those reports are in, and not releasing the person until they take care of that, which is not what we did with Terry Burrisius. What do you think, Michael?
I'll take that back. I think we were under the impression that they were being paid nationally, so if they're being paid locally, I think we'll have to do it station by station.
Yeah, my understanding is that the business managers just pay them. So they probably felt like enforcing this wasn't their...
Right.
Yeah, wasn't their,
responsibility.
Well, it's their responsibility if we ask them to make it their responsibility, but I don't know if that was clearly conveyed. You know,
right.
That's the issue.
Yeah, it sounds like a communication drop somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so maybe, Michael, since you're carrying on the Elections Committee, the feedback here is that the Elections Committee has to make sure that either the committee or the NES next year, this year, sends out a memo right about that time saying you're not going to get paid until the final report is in.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm reminding you, and I'm reminding all the station business managers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm going to ask what happened in our case, so we know.
Please. Figure out.
Yeah, I will check with the business manager at KPFK also.
Okay, cool. Okay, I think that's pretty much it. All right, so on the agenda, the last piece of unfinished business is a leftover discussion that Ken Aaron initiated before he left the committee regarding sort of the long-term question of what we do when shows are simulcast on one or more different stations and pledges are collected at different stations, and if we're handling that in sort of a consistent manner throughout the network. And it was clear that we're not handling it in a consistent manner throughout the network. What wasn't clear is whether we should, and if so, what that way would be. I think it's a valid thing for the committee to discuss. I don't know whether it's a high enough priority that we should do it with the rest of this evening. So I think I'm pretty much just going to throw it on the committee for comments about, do you want to pursue this item? Do you want to let it die? Because it has to be something that the current committee wants to take. Thoughts? Yes.
I would say it's probably from the discussions we've heard, it certainly sounds like at two of the stations, this is a very big issue. And probably to head off, you know, more stuff in the future, we probably should sort of do what we can to make this run a little more smoothly so people aren't having disputes with each other. However, tonight I don't think we can do anything. I think we might need like a working group on this or something to develop the information, because in the past we've heard quite a lot of discussion about it. We've heard, you know, people saying different things, and so people are not in agreement about the facts. And so I think we need to have something where we can nail down the facts and then say, how can we do this equitably so people aren't in disagreement about what's going on? So I think we can't do it tonight, but we probably should take this up at some point.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Michael, to the staff.
Yeah, Michael.
KPFK, you know, simulcast with KPFA, basically the Pacifica Evening News, as we call it, and then also Mitch Jezrich's show. And as reported on the air during the fund drive, it's always stated that pledges coming from each area, because I think it's also carried by KFCF, go to that area. And I honestly haven't heard that there's been a problem with it. The bigger problem is that we're never on the same schedule for our fund drives, so that KPFA usually starts earlier, and so our listeners who are hearing these programs coming from KPFA with the pitching have sort of 2 weeks of being pitched by, on the new news and on Mitch's show prior to our fund drive starting. So by the time our fund drive starts, the people already have had 2 weeks of pitching at them. And we keep saying we're going to try to get the same schedule, but my understanding is that coming up, it's probably not going to be. It's going to be the same thing. KPFA wants to start on May 1st, and we ended 1-2 recently to start that soon, so we're probably not going to start ours until mid-May. So at some point, I think it would be useful to figure out how to get at least those two stations, maybe all five, on a common schedule.
I agree. It's a big problem, and we have talked about it previously on the committee, and it's a little frustrating that it's not getting resolved. Okay. I think we can sort of bundle those things together. The issue becomes that this is more in play in the California stations and some of the other stations. So while it is important, we might have some people from Texas and New York and D.C. falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So except for our Paul, is there anyone from those signal areas who wants to weigh in on whether they want to spend committee time on this? Because I don't want it to become not valuable for people from other stations. Yes, go ahead.
Very quickly, I will agree with our Paul. I think that it's something that we need to look into in the future.
Okay. All right, we will. Okay. So with that, we get to the new business, which was laid out by this committee in the past couple of weeks. at the last couple meeting. I tried to rank things basically in the order that they came up from the group, with the idea that the most urgent things came up first and the less urgent things came up second. There were four of them, and I went back to the audio to make sure that I caught them all. One was a document request and schedule from the NFC to the PNO. The second was about John's idea about a sort of a management a station financial need of the quarter project. The third involves sort of this idea of centralization and not having 20 different bank accounts from which we're constantly transferring money from one to the other and back again. And the last was sort of a best practices manual. My feeling is that that's about the right order. So I'm wondering if we might want to start putting together a sort of a document request schedule. Doesn't mean that we're going to get it, but it does mean that we're going to, you know, put down in writing what this committee needs so we can do reasonable financial reviews and when we need it. And I think everyone has lots to say about that. I think we have a long distance from where we are to where we need to be. And I think it would be good to start getting that down on paper, even if we only come up with a draft tonight, and maybe we need to finalize it in 2 weeks. I don't know. But I think we could start brainstorming what that would look like. Does that sound okay?
Brainstorming what it would look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had like a case example tonight of the things that we didn't have and how we couldn't do a decent first quarter monitoring because we didn't have things. So I think it should be right at the top of people's heads what we need that we don't have.